Honorable members, honorable minister, honorable deputy minister, the director general, the director general of the department together with his staff, the CEO of FA Tourism with your staff, good morning. We shall not waste much time so that you should have enough time to pay your fee this morning in this warm Cape Town, and we believe that we shall be hearing good news. And if we've got to give you enough time to go program by program, and then thereafter we shall respond as a committee. Today's program stands as follows. 10 to quarter past 11 will be a presentation by the South African Tourism on its strategic plan, annual performance plan and budget. And then we shall be having our tea break. Then thereafter we shall be having questions, deliberations, discussions, and the process forward. Then from 12:30 to 12:45, we shall be looking at our minutes for the last meeting, and then we shall close at 12:45. Let us close our cell phones as well. We shall close our cell phones now and open our ears now. Over to you, CEO and your team. It is our pleasure to have you here and for the presentation of your strategic tourism plan.
Chairperson, thank you very much. It's good to see you and also some new members on this committee. We look forward to working with all of you. And let me right at the outset put on record once again our appreciation of the relationship with the committee. We found it a constructive relationship, a good working relationship, and let me assure you from the side of the department and from the public entity that at all times they are instructed to respect the role of Parliament and to ensure that there's proper oversight as is envisaged. Let me just introduce the team briefly, a chairperson who's here. The members of the committee know some of these senior officials. They've appeared here a number of times in the past. Let me start with the Director General right at the back there, Kingsley Makubela. Next to him is the Head of Ministry, Riaan Oukamp. Mujaji Sihabi, she's the Chief Director in the department. Sanki from the Deputy Minister's Office. Is that all the departmental officials? I think... Oh, there is some of them. Momzamu Bengu, right at the back there, also Chief Director in the department. And then from the side of South African Tourism, the Deputy Chairperson of the Board, Mr. Frank Kilborn, is here representing the Board. Mr. Jabu Mabuza is still overseas. We were at the ITB in Berlin last week, so he extended his visit there. Then the CEO, Sulani Nzima, he started at SAT first week of January this year. But he comes from the industry, he's on top of issues, and please ask him anything that you would like to ask him. He's accompanied by his team. Tim is the CEO. Amanda is the new head of the Conventions Bureau, National Conventions Bureau, and I'm quite sure that will come up in the discussion. Tembi Kunene here. Tembi is the Chief Quality Assurance Officer. Is that correct, Tembi? Is that what we call it now? Yes. That was always the CEO of the Grading Council, Johan van der Walt. He's the CFO at SAT. And Roshini Singh, you know well, she's the Chief Marketing Officer. Is that the team? Yes. And then Amor Malan is also a board member, chairperson. So that is the team. And, of course, the Deputy Minister and myself. Chairperson, I will first make a few introductory remarks. Then the Deputy Chair of the Board will highlight a few issues that he feels he should bring to your attention, and then the CEO will give you a detailed briefing that I'm sure you will open for discussion. Chairperson, tourism is poised to play a greater role than ever before, both on the global stage but also in the lives of South Africans. However, tourism is about much more than the policies, the statistics, and the objectives that we often talk about. It is about people. And the year 2011 was a good year for global travel and tourism, though growth was not as strong as it was in 2010. The last few months of 2011 witnessed a slight slowdown, but tourist arrivals still grew to 980 million, that's globally, in 2011. Globally, international tourism will top 1 billion trips this year, the first time ever in history. And the United Nations World Tourism Organization, the UNWTO, expects international arrivals in 2012 to increase by between 3 and 4%, which is slightly slower than the 4 to 4.5% recorded last year. Chairperson, being a labor-intensive sector with a supply chain that cascades deep into our national economy and across all our communities, tourism is positioned as a priority sector in government's planning and policy frameworks, and we had those discussions before. In 2011, the tourism sector worldwide supported 258 million direct, indirect, and induced employment opportunities, just under 9% of the global workforce. Of these, 100 million were direct jobs, which means that every single employment opportunity in the direct tourism economy supports another 1.6 million indirect jobs. 1.6 indirect jobs. During the 2008-2009 global economic downturn, tourism also played a critical anti-cyclical role in support of our national economy and contributed significantly to our GDP, our foreign exchange earnings, and also poverty reduction. In South Africa, as in the rest of the world, tourism remains one of the fastest growing economic sectors with huge potential for future job creation and social inclusion, in particular with regard to women and young people. The tourism sector success story of the past decade can easily lead to complacency. However, we understand that markets are continuously shifting and consumer preferences evolving. And that is why we rely heavily on the best available market research and information about emerging demand patterns. The new opportunities on our continent and in emerging markets are well understood, as is the need to consolidate and work even harder for every inch of market share in our traditional markets. And I'm quite sure this is an issue that I know committee members are interested in, and we have a full presentation prepared in that regard. Recent tourism arrival statistics from January to November 2011 was very positive. Emerging markets such as China and India showed growth of 27.2% and 22% respectively. Good return on our investment there, Chairperson. And whereas the traditional markets like the United States, 0.6%, and European countries showed smaller growth and stability. And let me just say something about the European markets. Chairperson, there's a mindset in a part of our industry that think success is measured by what happens in the European markets only. It's wrong. We should have a broader vision. The European market is very important because apart from numbers from those markets, the spend from those markets, obviously, is still very high compared to other markets. But let us not measure ourselves only in terms of what happens from the European market. We all know that what's happening in Europe with regard to the economic crisis. In many countries, outbound tourism has stagnated. It's a function of what is happening there economically. And outbound tourism with regard to some other destinations has actually collapsed from the European markets. We have stood our ground. We are stable in that market, although we don't see spectacular growth from Europe. The one market where we have just been last week for the ITB, but I would like to report to the committee that we are very impressed by what is happening in that market is the German market. Colleagues who have been on this committee for a number of years know that in the European context, we were concerned about that market because it basically stagnated for a number of years or minimal growth. Now, I can report back to the committee that between January and November last year, we started to see healthy growth from the German market, 9.9%. And it's quite clear that the German consumer in tough times, they didn't spend their money. Now they're in a position to spend and to travel. And the trade last week was quite optimistic about the business that they've done at ITB. Now, Chairperson, this performance is exceptional, especially in this difficult global economic climate. And I can also report back to the committee that we have outperformed all our direct competitors. And the department and South African tourism, in my view, certainly should be commended for that. SAT has done exceptionally well to effectively market our destination to the world, including our own continent. Arrival targets for Africa over the last 5 years was very positive, with Mozambique, Angola, and Nigeria showing the highest arrival to South Africa. And in that regard, obviously, we are working closely with South African Airways, which has announced a number of new flights on the continent. Now, with regard to South African tourism's focus on the African continent, Africa delivers more than 70% of all arrivals every year. Tourist arrivals from Africa grew at 10.3% annually from 2003 to 2010. And Africa's contribution to the total tourist arrivals to our country increased from 68.1% in 2003 to 70% in 2010. And that's, of course, much higher than growth from the rest of the world, 3.3%. The value that Africa brings to our own economy goes beyond tourism, and by that I include hotels and attractions, because it has major benefits for the whole economy, especially in manufacturing and other downstream industries. Chairperson, our country has the potential to further exploit its proximity and strength as a choice destination in the African market, which is still emerging from purpose-based travel into a true leisure-driven tourism market. Now, what are our objectives on the continent? We want to increase regional awareness of South Africa as a tourism and leisure destination. We want to increase arrivals and spend from Africa to contribute to our GDP and job creation. And in SADC, our market penetration is high, but opportunities exist to promote repeat travel and to turn shoppers into holiday travel. In the Africa air markets, sizable opportunity exists to attract the high-value business and leisure traveler. And to put it quite bluntly, why should people in, just to use examples, Kenya, Nigeria, travel to do their shopping in European countries, spend time there instead of coming to South Africa? We believe there's major potential there. And then, Chairperson, you will see in the presentation that you will receive from SAT, there's a commitment to, by the year 2015, open 5 African SAT offices, but you'll get an explanation on exactly the approach in that regard. And then, obviously, the implementation of regional tourism programs, where we're working together with RITOSA, the regional organizations, but also with the individual countries. Colleagues, in terms of the budget, we will receive extra money specifically earmarked for Africa, 2012 and 2013, 50 million, The next financial year, 84 million, and the outer year, also 84 million rand. Then chairperson on domestic tourism, the backbone of any tourism industry, obviously is also in its domestic market, with domestic tourism contributing over 70% of our country's tourism volume, as well as sustaining and creating much needed jobs. Building the domestic tourism market is a priority. Domestic tourism growth will not assist us to only hedge against global economic instability, but we believe that there are huge socio-economic and experiential benefits to be unlocked for domestic tourists and hosting communities alike. We will work with the tourism industry to encourage our fellow South Africans to enjoy the magnificent variety and authenticity that our destination has to offer. We are also on the verge to launch our domestic tourism strategy, and this strategy, Chairperson, together with SAT's domestic tourism campaign, that's the short left campaign that committee members here are well aware of, will yield good results. It will be clear from the presentation that thorough research has been conducted to analyze the domestic tourism sector. At the same time, Chairperson, we understand the importance of diversifying and developing the supply side, working closely with our private sector partners. On the one hand, we should grow tourism receipts by increasing tourist arrivals, and on the other, we should work harder than ever to increase expenditure per visit through innovative product development, excellent service, but also focused destination marketing. Tourism will continue to address issues raised by the President in his State of the Nation addresses in both 2011 and 2012. To ensure the achievement of the sector's targets, the Department will continue to work hard to implement our National Tourism Sector Strategy, the NTSS, but this, Chairperson, is not an end in itself. What is important is to translate increasing arrivals into broader economic benefits for our people. Working with other government institutions and relevant stakeholders, we will also play a more active role in addressing travel barriers. And in that regard, colleagues are well aware that the airlift strategy expired in December. Transport is obviously the line function department responsible for that. And at the moment, in discussion with them, all of us, the few key departments, are finalizing the new airlift strategy that will go and should go to Cabinet soon. But also the issue of visa processing, airlift, enabling infrastructure, but also the development of cultural industries. A critical area for sustainable growth and global competitiveness of the sector is the development and the improvement of public and private tourism infrastructure. So, Chairperson, a number of the issues that I've addressed broadly will be dealt with by the CEO in his detailed presentation. I know in the next 2 or 3 weeks, Chairperson, the department will also address the committee on its strategic plan, and today we will only be focusing on the public entity's strategic plan. The way that we understand it in the department, and I believe that is also the understanding of the committee, is that in the beginning of every term, we table a 5-year strategic plan here, and the purpose of this session every year is to then update that strategic plan and discuss that with the committee. Chairperson, it's over to the Deputy Chair of the Board.
Thank you, Minister Chair. I'm going to refrain from adding comments to the Minister's comments. I think he set out very clearly what we aim to do. I would like to just give you a little bit of background to our new CEO, because I think it might be the first opportunity for the committee to meet Mr. Nzima. He's an experienced person in the travel and tourism industry. He's worked at executive level for South African Airways, and in the last couple of years, he's been the sales and marketing director for Avis Rent-A-Car, which I'm sure a lot of you have made use of. We were attracted to his capabilities as the board because he has really got a thorough understanding of the industry. He's actually worked in the industry, and he's also got a very good understanding of marketing, which really both aspects are critical to us delivering our job. So it's my pleasure to hand over to him to give you the presentation.
Chairperson. Thank you very much. I will avoid following protocol because I might trick myself in this important chamber. It's a privilege to be here. Just in terms of logistics and how we're going to follow the presentation, we have given you a presentation, but we do have some additional information which will augment the information that we'll be presenting to you. We will alert you when we get to that stage where the information we're presenting is not included in your packs. The second thing, Chairperson, is that we have a full executive team here from SA Tourism. The purpose is that I will do some of the presentations and allow the team to fill in specific areas where they play a key role in driving the business of South African tourism. At the beginning, let me just reflect a little bit on the numbers that the Minister was talking about, that the growth that we have registered to the end of November 2011 is 2.7, but when you contextualize it with the impact of the Soccer World Cup, in fact, we are showing a growth of 7.3%. That's a commendable number. The Minister spoke about the growth in Germany of about 10%. Again, when you take the impact of the Soccer World Cup figures, we are somewhere in the region of 15%. So it's quite a strong growth. We have also increased our awareness in key markets, right now sitting at 79%. So on with the business of the day to present the strategic plan for the next 5 years. Let me start by refreshing our mandate in terms of what our business is all about. And the possible sector outcome which SA Tourism is involved with is to create a thriving tourism sector by making South Africa a destination of choice. You know that in the long term, our objective is to be in the top 20 destinations in the world. And the outcome for us is that we want to make South Africa a brand that tracks globally in the portfolio market, showing trended revenue growth of 1.5% per annum. This number was presented and agreed just close to the end of 2009 with the inflation not factored in there, but we are still working towards that. The strategies that will deliver these outcomes are key, five of them. First, to invest only in selected markets to deliver volume and value. We have a limited budget, and it is not possible for us to be in every market out there in the world where opportunities beckon, but we make sure that where we invest the money, it's based on a return on investment and that we'll achieve the two goals of driving volume and value. We will take you through this process in terms of how we do that. The second objective is to convince consumers that South Africa can be trusted to deliver memorable experiences. And we do this through the value chain and making sure that the people who deliver this actual experience are also on board in terms of the thinking, engaging stakeholders to deliver quality visitor experience that reaffirms the brand promise. Our job is largely to create awareness and making sure that South Africa is top of mind when we are out there competing with the world. But we do have the responsibility to make sure that this experience that we promise, that South Africa promises wonderful experiences to tourism, is in fact fulfilled. And then to work the distribution channel to promote South Africa. We have traditional channels that we are currently using to market South Africa, but we believe that to make sure that value is spread, South Africa remains the value for money destination, we must use all channels available to us in the market. And to energize and empower the organization to innovate and achieve excellence. It is our responsibility, Chairperson, that we continually look at innovative ways of doing business, making sure that the team itself is skilled and that we have the right people in the right positions. The point of departure for us is always looking at the tourism sector strategy. The government has set five key priorities for the next 5 years, including the creation of decent work, sustainable livelihoods, And our task is to make sure that we align our thinking around that, rural development, including food security, land reform, and the fight against crime and corruption. These five priorities have been converted into a medium-term strategic plan, and that's what we generally present here, and to make sure that we continue to distribute tourism around the country. The National Tourism Sector Strategy, just to reiterate the key points about it, the task is to deliver 15 million foreign arrivals by 2020. The second point is to make sure that we grow domestic tourism from its current level of 3.4 million to 16.4 million in 2009, and we're looking to deliver 18 million by 2020. And also to make sure that tourism makes its contribution to the GDP, the figure currently at 189.4 billion rand, we're looking to achieve 499 billion by 2020. The various initiatives that we are embarking on to achieve that objective. The contribution of domestic tourism to the GDP to grow from 62% to 60%. This is very important, just given the presentation that the minister gave you now. The focus is to make sure that our backbone, which is our domestic market, is very strong. It gives us a leverage as we compete out there. The environment globally is still very soft, and we need to be strong domestically first. The job creation is a very important one. Our target is to create, by 2020, 177,000 jobs in the tourism sector, and 225 jobs by 2020. Sorry. Let's just share with you the methodology that we follow in terms of selecting markets. We indicated to you that we want to play in key markets, Chairperson, where we can get two objectives, volume and venue. This is just a schematic presentation of the process that we follow. We take the world and put it through various filters in deciding whether the market will be worth our while or not. And that all of it followed will eventually end up in our core market. And I'll take you through this in the next slide, which is a little bit more explanatory. The key steps that we follow in the review of processes, and we review this processes on a regular basis, and I'll touch on that just now. The first filter that we look at is to assume that Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, is part of the numbers. But we then go to the second filter and make sure that the markets that we are looking at will exclude those that have less than 3 million people and that the GDP is less than 2,000 per person. If they pass through that filter, we then take them to the third filter. We look at the top 50 markets in terms of outbound volume and value. We have a comprehensive process which takes all the markets, put them together, and look at how they've been growing and the numbers that meet that particular criteria. We then move them to the next level where we will exclude markets with less than 20,000 arrivals per annum or where we don't have airlift and link at a given point in time. Generally, you'll find that even though we don't have direct air link, but via hubs that the airlines operate, we do still have arrivals. So we will consider that before moving to the next step. And of course, we will put them through certain set of selection criteria and make sure that we understand that. That gives us the understanding of how attractive the market is in the short term as well as in the long term. Will we be able to get our return on investment immediately, or is this going to be a longer term approach? And then we move into the fourth filter where we look at the cost benefit analysis. How much will it cost us to get into this market? Is it easy, quick to get traction in going into that market? That then forms our final portfolio, Chairperson, which then informs us. We have a particular structure in which we reflect the core market. And this is what it ultimately comes to, where we will have the core markets. These are markets which are attractive and easy to get into. we spend 60% of our investment in these markets. We will also show you where some of these markets are located. These are markets that deliver our bread and butter on a daily basis. We make sure we allocate our best resources to these markets so that at least we can compete and play with other key players in those particular markets. And then we have the second level, which is the investment market. Very attractive, but it could challenge us in terms of the barrier for entering these markets. But these markets, generally, are those where we make returns in the future. We spend 20% of our investments there. We go to the technical markets where we spend 15%, and the watchlist markets. It's very important at this stage that we continually look at the watchlist market, because the pace of change in the global economic environment is very fast. It's no longer the longer-term planning horizon that we used to enjoy. So we need to regularly do a review of these markets so that at least there's a constant change. Some markets that are in the investment portfolio can move up to the core markets, and those in the technical area move up, and so on and so on. This is just an example of what will then sit in our core market. Currently, this is based on our fourth portfolio review of which runs until the end of 2014. The fifth portfolio review will start now in July, which will allow us to take this particular approach up to April of 2014. As we see it now, following the process that I have outlined, Chairperson, the core markets are divided into what we see as core markets in Africa and the Middle East, Canada and the Americas, Asia, Australasia, and Europe. Those are the key markets. So in spite of changes in the global economic environment, we protect these markets. We make sure that we remain invested in these markets. We still keep our key resources in these markets, because notwithstanding the fact that the numbers may not be as good, but they still provide us with a very strong base for our arrivals here. And then we look at the investment market. That's where we have invested our 20%. And that is how we approach it. And the regime of reviewing this market is very stringent. We make sure that we have the right people in the organization sitting in these review processes to make sure that we are informed by quality research in making these decisions. So this is a very important process that helps us to answer when questions are asked about why are we not very active in certain markets. We use this process, and it is informed by research. It is informed by our objective to get volume as well as revenue. The importance of Africa to meet the national tourism sector strategies is quite obvious. The Minister has touched on that. Africa delivers the highest number of tourist arrivals. We have seen a very strong growth coming from this market. Apart from the fact that Africa delivers more than 70% of all arrivals, we have seen a good growth in terms of the contribution and the average spend coming from Africa. So it makes sense for us to focus a lot more in this market. It is a growing market. It is one area at the moment where we have seen some very, very strong growth. We have seen Nigeria's very strong growth, and that's where we're beginning to look at in terms of the next destination for South African tourism to open some offices. Africa is much easier accessible to us. It's very close, and we have significant travelers, particularly those in Southern Africa. And South Africa captures more than 50% of the total outbound departures from the African market. So we believe that Africa is part of our backbone, is part of our home base. We need to be strong in Africa. We need to be a dominant player in Africa. Again, echoing the sentiment of the minister, that we see no reason why a lot of our African brothers and sisters must make the long trips to Europe when, in fact, they could do business in South Africa. We just need to make sure that we have developed a relevant product that will help us to grow this business. Africa still represents an untapped potential market, and we have seen a lot of other countries focusing on Africa, and it makes sense for us that we are the first to market aggressively in Africa. Just to reiterate in terms of our strategic outcome, the investment that we have to make, invest only in selected markets, convince consumers that South Africa can be trusted, engage stakeholders to make sure that we deliver that experience, and making sure that the distribution channel is expanded, and energizing the organization and making sure that it's driven by innovation and technology, that we have excellent people working for us. These five strategies have been converted to five programs to comply with the National Treasury and Annual Resource Plan. The first one, the first program that comes out of this is the international portfolio marketing that we were talking about. The purpose is to increase international arrivals, focusing on Africa's growth in particular, and spend by making South Africa internationally and aggressively grow Africa. We have touched on this a little bit. The second program that comes out of this is that head office itself will provide marketing. The purpose of this division is to make sure that we support the market, and we provide toolkits for our international offices to globally promote the visibility of South Africa as a brand, and to aggressively promote culture and domestic tourism. The third program coming out of this is that we leverage on the Tourism Grading Council. This is very important that we have a good number of graded products that support the promise of a good experience in South Africa. It provides us with a quality assurance for our visitors coming into the country. Through the Grading Council Tourism, we are establishing best practices that make sure that from a systems and business processes point of view, we are in line with what is globally happening there, and we can be relevant to the establishment. It's a voluntary process. We have to make sure that we can demonstrate value to the establishments that want to be graded by us. We also provide a very strong head office financial support that ensures that we are compliant and real-time accurate financial information and business processes to ensure quality execution of our business plan and making sure that we stay within the policies that are provided for our operation, and that we continue to get clean audits coming out of this. The fifth program is an administrative support from a human resource point of view, systems, structures, and making sure that we operate within our approved budget. To fully implement the National Convention Bureau and achieve its KPIs, we have presented an 18-month plan on the execution of the National Convention Bureau. This is already up and running, and we are pleased to report, Chairperson, that we will be on time in making sure that the National Convention Bureau operates fully by the time frame provided. The strategic goals that we're talking about, first of all, the annual arrivals to South Africa to increase currently from the 12 million, from the current number to 12 million by 2015. This is in line with the National Tourism Sector Strategy as well, and that by 2015, we move the number to 15 million. We have indicated that the ultimate number by 2020 is going to be 18 million. We also focus on increasing the average spend per arrival in South Africa from 11,960 to 12,536 per person by 2018. When we first presented this target, we did not include in the figure the prepaid component of our the spend, but with the as a result, the figure that we were looking at was a little bit lower, but with the inclusion of the prepaid components, the number is now looking a little bit better. To become the most the prepaid component is when a tourist comes to South Africa, there are two ways in which they make payment. One is in a tour, you will have a separate payment for the flights, and you may prepay packages that instead of you bringing a lot of money to do a variety of tours and experiences in South Africa, this money is prepaid in that regard. Generally, we would exclude that component which is about the itinerary, the excluding the air component of it. Did I explain it correctly? And some hotels. So that number looks a lot more decent now. So also to become the most preferred tourism brand by obtaining an average positive brand awareness percentage of 79%. This is a very important number because following the Soccer World Cup, the expectation was that we're going to shoot this number very high. We showed some improvement during the Soccer World Cup, but we have stabilized at 79%. We will push ourselves as a team to make sure that when we do the next brand tracking, we are pushing closer to the 80% and maybe forward to 81%. That's not the commitment that I would like to make here, but we are happy with the 79% awareness. The important part of this is not just limited to creating awareness. It is also about the conversion. That is the next area where we're saying we're bringing a balance between creating awareness of the country as well as converting. So when people know about South Africa, do they finally make the decision to travel to South Africa? And to deliver on the quality experience expected by international and domestic tourists by having at least 6,172 graded establishments in South Africa, the Tourism Grading Council is tasked with that job. We saw quite a big increase leading up to the Soccer World Cup. It was expected that after that, some of the establishments which were in our base were going to get out of the system because they've taken advantage of the Soccer World Cup. But we remain committed to make sure that by 2013, we have increased and we have 6,172 graded establishments. To continuously improve internal policies, procedures, and business processes that support the spending to no less than 98% or 102%. This, in a nutshell, means we will operate within our approved budget. We will make sure that we stay within the parameters of our approved operation so that we continue to get our team audit report. To grow South African business events industry, this is where we have started to see a lot of improvement to continuously play within that environment and making sure that ecotourism delivers value, thereby reduce its average annual staff turnover. Oh, no, sorry, let me retake this point. It's to grow the business events industry. This is a separate point which talks to our focus on the National Tourism Bureau, which we have just outlined now, which we have launched. The second component of this is to make sure that as an organization, we continue to position South African tourism as a good company to work for, thereby making sure that our turnover on an annual basis is reduced to a reasonable number of 10% while achieving an average score of at least 3.3 in terms of the best company to work for. The strategic outcome is based on the goal number one, just to give you some more details on this. This is to make South Africa, to market South Africa in such a way that annual arrivals to South Africa increase to 12 million by 2015 and 15 million by 2020. These are the historical figures that we have achieved until now. We have shown some growth in these numbers, as you can see. 2010, we had a 15%, 14.7% growth. This was a result of the Soccer World Cup impact. But even if we remove the impact of the Soccer World Cup, we still showed some good growth, which was above the global tracking. The Soccer World Cup alone generated 309,000 visitors to South Africa just for the one-month period that we had. And for the 2011 calendar year, the arrivals will be, we believe that we'll be able to reach 11 million, and this will be an increase on the previous year's figures, notwithstanding the fact that we will be doing this on top of the Soccer World Cup figures. So we're doing very well as a country. The other issue is to aggressively market Africa, as indicated. And to this effect, we've had the benefit that the minister was talking about, where we have been given an additional funding of 50 million, 84 and 84 million in the next 3 years. And what will be the objective when we get this money? Again, looking at the way we support the national tourism sector strategy is to increase regional awareness of the of South Africa as a tourist and leisure destination. We have a lot of interest coming here for shopping, but we need to make sure that we expand that to include the leisure component and the experiencing South Africa in general. Increase arrivals and spend from Africa to contribute to the GDP and job creation. In some of the slides that we have here, you would have seen the average spend that we are tracking per country. Most of the regional African countries are dollar-based, and this gives us a much higher average spend per person when they come here. So we are very much interested in being a share of that business. In the static area, our market penetration is high, but opportunities exist to promote repeat travel and to turn suppliers into, to turn shoppers into holiday travel. Okay. Roisin was just indicating that this is about time that we will get into one of the additional slides that we wanted to use to augment our information. But let me just run through this one, and when it comes to that, it will give you much more information in so far as that is concerned. In the Africa air market, a sizable opportunity exists to attract high-value business and leisure travel. We always separate between our air market and the land market in regional Africa because most of them can drive across the border to do shopping, and it's a significant amount of spend that they have, and we appreciate that. But we also want to make sure that we increase the air market, people who fly to South Africa, to make sure that when they are here, for business, there's also a component of leisure travel for their experiences. And to set up 5 marketing offices in key African markets by 2020, we will be looking at 2015, and we'll show you how we actually want to do this, the implementation of regional tourism programs that will drive these initiatives and making sure that our efforts to bring African tourists, regional African tourists into South Africa is actually supported by certain initiatives. Roisin, you were talking about that slide. Where is it coming
from? Maybe I can just start here.
Can I just talk through this very important slide then, and then we'll get into it. In terms of the air market and the strategy that the minister alluded to, and the deputy chairperson touched on how we want to make sure that we have a proper strategy to reach the various markets within regional Africa. Our approach is to take a hub strategy. The opportunities that we have is that we can go for a consolidation of markets which have certain communalities, markets which are very close to each other. Given the limited resources that we have, it will be very difficult to operate to every market. Some of them are very thin. So what we have decided to do is to embark on a three-hub strategy approach, where we focus on the Central African region, with the Western African region, and the Eastern African region. The idea is that when we talk about opening offices in regional Africa for the period between now to 2015, we actually are positioning ourselves in areas where we will be able to have the tourists. This will help us in, for instance, when we look at the East African regional strategy, and you look at a single market there. Some of them are very thin, 32,000 arrivals, but when you combine Tanzania and Uganda in the East African region, you can generate 70,000 passengers. But the strategy is to make sure that in that region you have one office that can cover the three markets. You will do the same thing when you look at the West African market of Nigeria and Ghana. When you look at them individually, those are the numbers that you are getting. But again, a combined strategy will make sure that we have a broader reach and we can generate about 70,000 markets in the ECOWAS area. That is the strategy that we are going to be following, and there are key elements of how we're going to make sure that these things work. A large regional market potential suggests the need to establish a presence in the market. Based on the portfolio analysis that I alluded to initially, we will make sure that we understand the market, we understand the synergies in the market, we have market insight that tells us the behaviors in the particular areas. Maybe this is time now that before I get into these numbers, we look at that expanded communication that we're talking about.
This is really a strategy to give my CEO a little bit of a break so he can rest his vocal cords. So thank you very much. I'm Roisin, and I'm just going to look at some of the issues around what we're doing in Africa and some of our marketing work. But I wanted to say that there may be some questions that you are asking in terms of the numbers that were put up on the targets for arrivals. But if you looked at the slide on arrivals, you would see at the bottom that we put a little note saying that our board in September asked us to also set targets for tourists, and that's why in brackets there you've got that number of 8.4 million tourists and 11.9 million arrivals. The reason is that we don't have enough years of tourists yet to set targets. So we're still setting targets on arrivals. And we will explain that later as well. But it's always something, when we've come to the portfolio committee before, we have shown the difference between the two and why we still keep the targets on arrivals. You also heard that we're setting up the offices by 2015, and that's the implementation plan. We were very happy last year to receive the extra funds. I'm sure also that members here helped us to ensure that we get it to aggressively grow Africa. And that is an amount of 54 million in year one, and 50 million in year one, 84 million in the next 3 years. We've now worked on some of the creative work, and I'm actually not going to read the slides. But if you look at Nigeria, what we're saying is that the Nigerian traveler is really looking for the unique cosmopolitan vibe in South Africa, and they want to go away and share their stories. This is some of the creative work that we've put together for Nigeria, and it's not in your pack, so I'm sorry, Chairperson, it's on the, behind you. But for Nigerians to really look at how they can make their trip to South Africa a day to remember, because there is so much to do in one day. And I know you can't read the slide, but those little GPS coordinates there are about places and things you can do. So you can see from the pictures that we're showing a range of activities that make you feel that you are really part of this urban vibe, but also when you go out there and relax, there's a de-stressing role that South Africa gives you. These are the kind of guides that we would put together for the Nigerian market. The creative work, Mobi works very well in the market. Everyone has a smartphone, and so we are getting a lot of people talking to us through our Mobi sites and our social media. We're also developing a mobile app, so when people come into the country, they can actually know exactly where they are, and they can find out more information about the places around where they are. And that's what the app is. It's really taking what's on our website and putting it onto an app for your smartphone, but it can also be downloaded with a range of other phones at the moment. That would be some work we'd do to take over a website, and that would be for the trade where we'd have deals in the market. I think you might have read in the paper last year we signed an agreement with the Nigerian Association of Travel Agents, and the deal is still on despite what happened last week. And so 800 travel shops in Nigeria have agreed to sell South Africa, And this is what we're working on. I don't know why this is maybe some phone here. So this is the kind of thing we would do for the travel agents. That just tells us, in Nigeria, what is the media like? So what do they have? How many radio stations? What is the penetration? What is the reach of the media? And then with our budget, what we are buying and how we will be activating in that market to inspire, to engage, and to convert people, and a year plan, activity plan for the year between now and March 30th next year in the Nigerian market, what activities we will be doing. With Angola, it's really, for Angolan travelers, South Africa is a weekend getaway. Basically, for them, they can get on a flight on a Thursday night, and they can get back home on a Sunday, and they want to come here to feel rejuvenated to go back to work. So you'll see some of the work, bring your style to life in South Africa from this amount. So we have to put deals into Angola, show them what they can do for the weekend, adventure, celebrations, things that will go out with DDCs means, deal-driven campaigns where people can actually see what's to be done, how much does it cost me for the weekend, and we'd work with tour operators and airlines, obviously, on this. And SAA has double daily flights out of Nigeria, so you're actually getting 14 flights a week that are coming into South Africa, and they are quite full. So it's really getting people to spend more time, do more when they are here. That's the kind of toolkit of a map. Again, more social media being used and looking at an image booth, a digital image booth that we want to put up at the airports so that people can come and get to know the country, touchscreen technology. That tells us about the media. Angola is a very expensive country. We can't do a lot with what we have, so although the money was great, it doesn't go very far, but that's what we managed to buy with some outdoor, a little bit of TV and doing some work at the main shopping center where we will do activations. Also with a year plan, with the DRC, this is obviously we're talking to people that are pretty worldly. They travel a lot. The kind of person we're talking to in the DRC has a lot of money, and they travel a lot in Europe, and we want to attract them to South Africa. They spend a lot of money. And they want to make connections when they're here. They want to see the people. So the kind of campaign we've got for them is getting them to know more. They are people that want to know a lot about a country. So if they come here and do the wine route, they are the kind of people, the DRC travelers, who want to know everything about wine. So the whole idea was to put QR codes, which you see on the ad, so that they can find out more, get them to be able to get into social media, and get them to have conversations with South Africans and learn more about our country. So you'll see the booklets, it's like 50 conversations worth making, places in South Africa, linked to the deals, linked to the people that you can meet because they want to connect with South African people. Something that the minister always talks about, we call it speed dating usually, but this is like speed meeting with getting people to meet each other, really with the trade, activating that, having some more social media, again, because a lot of people do use their mobile phones to search for information, and that's the media, that's what we can do in DRC with our budget and what we are planning to do. The last one, sorry, that was the year plan. And then with Kenya, still quite a price-sensitive market, but they also want to be more like a local. So when they are in South Africa, they really want to do what the locals do. So the whole idea around Kenya was to show them how we travel, how we do things, get them to get more information and make it a lot more about the stories that they tell. And they don't mind the whole idea of I was going there and I got lost and I saw another place and I got there. So that was the idea around that. Again, with tips, helping them to be in the picture, doing more social media and doing some work with the trade, the media that we can get from Kenya and an activity schedule for the year. carry on with domestic.
Thank you very much, Roshan. I hope that has given you some more insight into some of the detailed strategies and initiatives that we are embarking on. The next important area is to touch on domestic tourism, and I must just be mindful of the time here, Chairperson. I'm not sure how we are doing, but I'll be very quick here. This is just a reflection in terms of performance on some of the previous key strategic issues. The measuring our domestic travel incidents in terms of the growth. We have shown consistent growth. You can see up to 2010, we grew by 13%. And the number of trips, very important. This is what we're talking about, that to the end of 2010, we're sitting at 29.7. But we also differentiate and make sure we understand the purpose of travel. You can see visiting friends and relatives and the business travel is an important component of purpose for travel and the spend that we need to get. The other important element here is to make sure that we have an increase in the annual bed nights. That's another key measure that we've got there. And the average nights per trip. The National Tourism Sector Strategy relating to tourism and how, from our side, we can make sure that we identify the most attractive segments on which to focus our activation. This is based on the information that we have done. We focus on, one, growing tourism, a sector's absolute contribution to the economy, and this is based on measuring about three key areas, the number of adult travelers. We indicated to you that our aim is to get to 18 million by 2020, but it will be 16 million by 2015. The penetration in terms of the percentage of the population that travels is still sits at 48% of the economically active population. And the total number of trips is what is going to be important in terms of how we measure our success. But we also want to increase domestic tourism's contribution to the tourism economy, and there making sure that we focus on the correct LSM consumers. And the other key thing here is to make sure that we increase the issue of geographic and seasonality. We always feel that tourism trades on established routes. There are certain itineraries that are well known, but we need to establish new ones that will make sure that we also cover the geographic spread of our economy and increase the level of tourism to rural areas, domestic arrivals, and bed nights in the rural areas. That's going to be very important going forward as well. The formulation of the domestic strategy is also a very intense exercise. For us, it starts with understanding of the market itself, making sure that we group passengers or consumers in terms of certain similarities. We embarked on a project, and the scope of the project is what we have just outlined here, to make sure that we understand the current situation of the domestic tourism market in terms of its macro environment analysis and the sector overview. The research also focused on making sure we understand the needs and attributes related to travel, the travel behavior and buying processes of the customers, and coming out of there to develop high-level marketing strategies for us to prioritize the segments and making sure that we understand that, creating messages and themes towards transforming tourism culture in the travel segment. What Roshan was indicating to you is how we will talk to the regional African market, but we also have specific ways in which we want to talk to the South African market. We started off looking at the bigger South African population and conducting a study to see exactly of this figure, what is the percentage of South African adults that are earning more than 3,000 rand per month, and that have the ability to travel. And when we did this analysis, it left us with a potential of 8.2 million people that we can target. We then applied certain filters into this, looking at the population, which is over 18 years, and that reduced the number to 13.3 million. Out of this, we then look at who earns the minimum salary of 3,000 rand that we're talking about. That's how we arrived at the 8.2 million. That is the area that we are going to be targeting. When we started off, we looked at quite a broad range of segments and that looked at about 14 different segments. And these are the segments that came out at the time. And as you can see, it touches on a variety of criteria that we could segment and group the potential traveler. And then moved on to say it is actually a big number that we could be looking at. But let's look at understanding some of the key segments that have met the criteria, the minimum criteria of being between the ages of 18 to 25 years, earning a minimum of 3,000, and we then focus on that. And these markets are segmented into spontaneous budget explorers, the new horizon families, the high life, and so on and so on. And as you can see from this table, it gives us the very specific segments which talk about the races and the income groups. It also gives us an idea about how long do these people spend when they go on holiday, how many times do they go on holiday per year, and how much do they spend per year. And this gives us an idea of this is the attractive market. And why do they travel? And at the bottom, we're talking about some of them, to use an example of this spontaneous budget explorer. Travel is a way to discover new people, places, and adventures. So once we understand this, we can then formulate our marketing messages, formulate products that talk to this particular market segment. And, of course, focusing on those segments that will give us a quicker return, those that have the ability to travel. So then we come to the integrated marketing strategy, where we're looking at the umbrella strategy, which combines various aspects of all the segments that we have chosen, and making sure that we can create positivity and awareness around this for them to start traveling within South Africa. And what is the value proposition? What are the products that we need to have for each one of the various segments that we have identified? I'm not going to go through everything here, just pick up one or two that conveys the point. If you look at, again, the New Horizon families, the value proposition for them is to spend quality time and broaden the family's horizon while being rewarded for hard work. This is what people actually say, we want to travel for that. And what is the product that we must have in place for them to be able to fulfill that? And it must be accessible and informative with family holidays. So we're going to have packages that are designed to talk to these various market segments that we've identified. In a nutshell, that's what we're going to do to make sure that we tap into this. Traveling in South Africa is not only a great way to explore the country, but also to discover the many reasons why the rest of the world come to South Africa. We are encouraging our people to travel in their own country, understand why we have 10 million people coming to South Africa per year. We are targeting to even get more numbers. What is it that they're coming to do in South Africa? Do we know enough of those ourselves? We realize that because of the various components of the domestic strategy, some of it carrying the responsibility of education, culture change, mindset, it is a holistic approach. Ethnic tourism will have its own role to play, but we believe that there are other key players which will come to the party. So we have identified the specific activities that we believe that the National Department of Tourism will play, what ethnic tourism will do, the provincial and local authorities, as well as the industry is going to do. This strategy is going to make sure that we involve every aspect of our domestic tourism sector, making sure that every player does play a role. Just to give an example, in terms of the industry, with all the packages that we can identify, with the understanding of the information based on the research of the segments that we have identified, we need to have the private sector to first make sure that they continue to promote and prioritize consumer segments for activation according to the business objectives, but they must also provide a channel and distribution. These are the people who are going to make sure that those who want to travel for weekends, who want to travel to specific events based on the products and tourist experiences that we would have identified, are actually packaged and eventually a sale does happen. And then the National Department of Tourism is to develop and execute a national educational campaign in collaboration with the Department of Education to build awareness around tourism and its value to South Africa. It is when our people understand the value of tourism in a simple language that they can support tourism. They can relate to tourists coming into the country. If they themselves are not travelers, are not educated, they don't understand what tourism is all about, it does not touch their areas. Tourism is limited to the urban areas only. We will not succeed in cultivating a culture of tourism within our domestic people, and secondly, embracing tourists when they are in our country. So there will be a variety of roles and responsibilities, and from our side as SA Tourism, we understand our role to provide direction to advertising agency in developing, in the development of the national marketing communication campaign. What Roisin was talking about, we make sure that once we understand that, what is the messaging that our advertising agencies must try and craft out for us, and work to disseminate the plan's key messages to the industry and channel partners to enable understanding. Our role is to create that awareness, to create the interest, direct people in terms of where they can actually have the fulfillment. In other words, where can they buy these packages? Now that we have identified it, we know the channel that must talk to them, direct them to the right channel. So that will be our role in making sure we play with everybody else in the industry. But I think it's important that when you look at this slide, you understand that there is the provincial and local authorities' role in it. There is the National Department of Tourism. There is a role that we as a tourism play, and the industry, that all of us are focused on the common objective of promoting domestic tourism. The rest of the slides actually talk to this in terms of specific areas, activating the marketing demand, and making sure that activating the fulfillment component, which I have touched on, it really is about detail of the role and responsibility for each one of the people that we have identified around here. Admitting from our side.
Okay, let this slide be the last one so that we can break and have tea while it is hot.
Thanks, Jefferson.
Sorry for that, Bob.
Okay, we'll make this the last slide, and maybe we can talk a little if you're coming back from the break, you still want us to continue on this. We just want to show you some of the marketing messages and creative work that we are doing. Maybe just insight, instead of in fact talking about the slide, just to give insight in terms of what is it that the campaign is going to entail. Thanks, Jefferson.
Okay, thank you very much for a very interesting presentation, Mr. Nzima. Let us break for 10 minutes and then come back. I'm sorry for stopping you abruptly, but let us have 10 minutes and then come back. Continue for about 10 minutes, then we can ask questions.
Thank you. I know how many hours, but remember, like, you know, I still need to
Let's take 2 minutes to settle. Over to you, Mr. Nzima.
Jefferson, thank you very much. We have 10 minutes now left in the second stanza, and we're going to fly through some of the slides. Given the fact that you have the text in front of you, this campaign is going to support the domestic tourism. In essence, all we're talking about is we want to make sure that South Africans begin to travel the country like tourists, see themselves as tourists in their own country, take pride in what South Africa has to offer, and see the world as, see South Africa as the world as sees it in the country. I think we have already spoken about the average spend that we want to increase from the current figure of 8,900. Our plan is that by the end of this current financial year, we'll be at about 11,960, and by 12-13, we should be at 12,536, and by 12-14, around 13,000 rand per person. This is the average spend per country. That's very important information also in terms of the currency that is used by various countries. But I think let me focus on the important objective here in terms of strategic goal number three. what we're really doing here is we have created awareness. We have benefited from the Soccer World Cup. We would want to try and keep the number very high up there. We have made successes in various countries and would like to continue to do so. The important thing is about brand knowledge and brand journey and conversion of positive brand awareness to sales. So we are actually piloting in some areas, like the United Kingdom. We are piloting a project to increase conversion rate as quickly as possible. The average brand awareness, as we can track it, this week is an ongoing exercise. I think it's also very important, just in terms of this conversion rate. It differs from country to country. There are some countries where the conversion rate is much higher. Just to give you a sense of how to read these numbers, when we say one in, like within the Netherlands, one in 1.2.26, we're saying the smaller that number, the second figure, the better, which means for every person who either looked at our, who's positive about South Africa and looked at our product offering, they do eventually travel to South Africa. That is the focus in those areas, and it differs from market to market. And then in terms of the brand journey, this is the tracking that we were talking about, and you can see the awareness level, the relationship between awareness and likely to visit South Africa in the next 18 months becomes a very important one. In some instances, you have a very high awareness level but very little conversion, but that's where the focus is going to be, making sure that whilst awareness is okay, the second most important thing, are you positive about South Africa as a destination for your next holiday, and then converting that into your travel decision. Again, this is just an illustration in detail of the key markets where you see the conversion rates, how we are doing in those various areas. Japan is a concern for us. If we were to remove Japan from these numbers, our awareness level is very high. Japan, as you can see there, we're sitting at 26% awareness, and very, very low conversion rate of just 1%. So we are concerned about that, because even the positivity from the Japanese are not quite upbeat about South Africa sitting at 8%. There's a lot of work to be done in that regard. This is also a very important slide. In a nutshell, what this slide illustrates is when we compare ourselves against some other destinations in the world, how do people in various countries rank South Africa. Our concern when you look at this slide is where we have the red marks, where China, for instance, in terms of an enriching experience to come to South Africa, they don't think we are the best. But also at the bottom there, where you look at value for money, we are concerned that some countries like China and Japan don't think we are offering value for money. And the element of the perception of safety and security in South Africa, although this is a little bit outside of our mandate, but we believe that it impacts on our ability to achieve all the objectives that are set out there. So it's very important that we start addressing the perception of value, we start addressing the perception of safety and security, because there are a few red marks in that area. So when we do that, then we can be able to assess the key strategies and achieve our goals. I think this one we have already covered in this sense, so I'm not going to... the important thing here is that we know that we have... it's not showing here. Okay. We have a new payoff line. This was driven by Brand South Africa to make sure that we move away from the current payoff line. Last year, I think 2 years ago, when we embarked on the master branding, making sure that there's common look and feel of all the entities that sell South Africa, changing to the current brand that you see there, there was no agreed payoff line. Brand South Africa came to Cabinet for approval towards the end of last year, and they were sent back to go and rework the payoff line. We were working on an interim one which said it's possible. So they've come back, they've consulted sufficiently, and from our side, we're happy, and they've received Cabinet approval. And this is what the process has been all about. The new payoff line, moving from it's possible for... This was the tourism's application. We are now moving to the new one, which says inspiring new ways. And this is just an indication in terms of how we use it in point of sale material and various areas of the business. I won't bother you so much about insight and how the idea came about, but suffice it to say that there has been sufficient consultation, and the process has gone through cabinet, and there's been approval to this new payoff line. So all we can say really is we are happy that we finally have something that we can use as a country, and we support that. The quality experience by the international and domestic tourism to deliver on the quality experience. We have already indicated our objectives in terms of the grading council, what we aim to achieve. Just given the limit in terms of time, I'm going to just pass through this quickly. There are certain things that we proud ourselves with. We pride ourselves of the place that we have and our range of establishments that we are grading under the grading council is from a one-star establishment to a five-star establishment. This gives us a broad range that we can do the bread, the bed and breakfast, the guest houses, the five-star establishments, and so on and so on. So it is actually important that we allow that, so that the experiences of tourists in the country is in that range, and affordability and value for money for South Africa. This is the most sought-after kind of brand, and this is also a very important component of our grading when we talk about the universal access grading status, which makes us very friendly to people with disabilities. It's one of those additional things that we have added. We want to be known as a friendly tourism country with accommodation and facilities that are actually able to meet all the impairments that people may have. So this is an additional one, and we are applying it in a very stringent manner. We won't really bother you about the steps, but what you see here is just a broad overview of the various types of establishments. Secondly, the spread in various provinces in terms of where we have graded establishments across the board. As you can see there, it includes self-catering outlets, lodges, and so on and so on. So when we talk of targets, this is what we're trying to achieve. And we're also looking at the number of rooms that those establishments can provide us, because at the end of the day, it's our ability to provide room nights, not just about the units only. We are also concerned about making sure that we have room nights. I think we have also spoken to a large extent about the budget and how we want to operate within this. The next one is just continuously improving South African tourism's internal processes and staff members. We have also spoken about our desire to keep the staff turnover at 10%. And to be the best company to work for as measured by the Deloitte and best company surveys. Our mission, I think this is very well known. South Africa will grow the nation's business event. This is on the National Convention Bureau. This is very, very important because it gives us an additional angle in terms of making sure that we augment and support our success on the leisure tourism side and now bring in the business component, taking advantage of our proven track record to host various events and sporting activities. Next year, we're starting the year with the hosting of the African Cup of Nations coming from the success of the COP17 event. So we have positioned South Africa very well in terms of this area, making sure that we are positioned as a preferred business event destination, growing the industry's capacity and making sure that there is a central point of entry into South Africa when it comes to looking for conventions and conferences. Amanda is here leading this area. We have done very well so far. We have submitted a budget and a program which was approved by the board, and this is just an indication of some of the work that is being done, some a little bit outstanding. We are already providing big support to the associations and delegate boosting. We have contacted the most important part of this exercise is to make sure that we align the various provinces and cities which have invested in convention centers, making sure that we have a framework policy for making bids at South Africa and be a center of information for all the provinces. This is the corporate logo that we have put together for the National Convention Bureau, aligned to the current corporate branding, as just alluded to earlier on. This is how we'll apply it at various, in various areas. I think this is also just to indicate to you that we are driven as an organization, we are driven by certain value systems, and we try and live these values on a day-to-day basis. We respect our shareholder, we respect our people, we make sure that we respect our assets as well, making sure that our actions are actually accountable. Whatever we do it in the best interest of the organization, and that the team pushes the boundaries of excellence in everything that we do. The next important thing is to show you how we use the money that you allocate to us, and I think it's very important that we touch on that. Johan, where is that budget number?
Oh, is it still part of the strategy?
Chairperson, if it's sufficient for the House to say we have heard you, we have seen what you have to present, we believe you account properly for the funds that we give you, we are very satisfied, and we would like to stop the presentation here.
Okay, now we can give a one-liner or two about how far you are with the budget and whether you are in line with the budget, and that's it.
If it's the one-liner, Johan, let me talk the one-liner. Chairperson, we've done well. We are very much in line to spend within our budget. Where we had lagged behind before the end of the financial year, we have taken measures to make sure that we spend within that allocated amount, and we spend very prudently. We do not do it just for the sake of spending the money. And equally, the additional funding that we received from the department to focus in growing the African regional market is very ring-fenced, and we're using it specifically for that purpose. The rest of the other areas of our financial activities, we conduct audits on a regular basis. We have our internal audits, and we also have the AG conducting regular audits in our books.
Thank you, and thank you very much, CEO. But before we get on with the program, with our hearing, let us first say that thank you. We thank you for having a person that is physically disabled amongst your top team. I think we are impressed because it shows the real diversity that we are having as South Africans. And before we look at the questions, I would like you to once you look at the questions to answer, to be thinking about how do you intend to increase the average spend of the tourists. Two, what are your plans for brand harmonization, given the fact that provinces, local government, and national government are not yet have a joint marketing strategy, and therefore we are having different messages behind the South African brand, which may affect our marketing effort. Three, how do we intend to address the perception on safety and security? Why I'm saying that it's a perception mainly is because there are very, very few people, tourists, that have actually been injured compared to other destinations. And it may be a question of not really dealing with it in terms of our marketing. But what you answer the questions that will be coming, I think those are critical as well.
Thank you, Jefferson. I also wish to thank the CEO, just as he is new, I'm new to this committee. So you must forgive me if I say something that you've already answered or already achieved in the past, which I'm not aware of.
We do not compensate people for sleeping.
I've attended, I think, two briefings from which I've learned the following. The issue of education. The tourism industry, in fact, is key. It has a huge potential to make a contribution to other GDP, and education is key also in order to increase for the development of the tourism sector. What I learned is that the students who graduate from these institutions, tourism institutions, are not adequately trained. When they come out of there, they don't have the necessary skills to meet the needs of the tourism sector, the service industry. So if you don't have a continuous HR refreshing going on there in the sector, how is that going to affect the service industry, and how are you going to meet the needs of the service industry? That's key. Seems as though the content or the curriculum design doesn't meet the needs. Are you doing something about that? What about education in, let's say, in schools, in order to, educate the children about tourism and to actually develop this culture of tourism at a very young age? I think that would be important because there is a lack of this tourism culture amongst South Africans. One of the other issues that I want to raise is what the chairperson has already raised, the issue of lack of alignment in terms of marketing activities between SAT and the provincial tourism agencies that exist. Seems as though there is a mismatch, if I may say, or rather sometimes there's competition to the detriment of the other. I mean, marketing a province, not marketing the country. Are you competing? I know to that. Lack of coordinated effort between the provinces and the relevant departments, and also the regulatory environment. What are you going to do to make it more conducive to promote SMMEs, etc.? Because that's where the jobs are going to be created, right? The other thing that we noted, Chair, with your permission, is the lack of cooperation between the relevant government departments itself, which are linked to the tourism sector. I mean, if you just take, for example, the Department of International Relations. If people apply for a visa to come here, tourists, and if he doesn't get it timely, he might as well choose to go somewhere else. And sometimes the requirements are so stringent, and that puts a lot of people off. Are you liaising with the Department of Foreign Affairs trying to address these matters very quickly?
I'm very concerned about the brand. Okay, I'm not very impressed with this new brand that you have. First, you had this what was it? Leave the Ordinary or something like that, and then now you had Possibility thing. Now you got something else. What's your latest one? No. Given our natural resources, we have mountains, we have rivers, we have lakes, oceans, wildlife, diverse plant life, pluralistic society, multicultural society, dynamic sporting calendar, places of historical importance. We have the cradle of civilization, for God's sake. What are you saying to the people? We're saying Possibility, Leaving Ordinary. Can't we say to them, come experience the world, experience the world, we have the world is here. That brand, that statement should say it all. Yeah, people have the Eiffel Tower and they make a big deal about it. People have the Taj Mahal, they make a deal about it. We've got everything. We have got dynamic choice of cuisines, culture, traditions, rivers, mountains, lakes, everything. Is that brand saying that? Come see the world. Come experience the world. That's what we want to tell the people. If you come here, you see the world. Thank you.
Mr. Emile, thank you, Mr. Shah. Let's just continue looking at our watches, while we speak.
Mr. Chair, I'm also relatively new to this portfolio, but what I've noticed in the last 4 or 5 briefings I've had from your supportive agencies in tourism is that clearly this has got to be one of the most cost-cutting ministries, call it that, in the whole of the government. In a sense that, you know, you can't promote one thing without another particular one doing something about it. I quote the typical example in the Eastern Cape of, you know, having beautiful wild coast resorts and you can't get there, you know, unless you've got a 4x4 or a tractor. So transport has to play a role in ensuring that if you're going to meet the targets of those domestic travellers wanting to go to something different, that you need to be able to get those fixed up. And it's of concern to me that there is possibly not sufficient dialogue taking place at the right level as opposed to the high level in order to coordinate those type of activities that are necessary. I mean, the typical example which comes to mind is a couple of weeks ago with the health department kicking Nigerians out because they didn't have yellow fever things against some sort of a process that has been agreed to with Home Affairs. And then we have the Angolan people and the Indian market, which, from what I understand, are actually turning away the opportunity of visiting the country because of the length of time it takes to get a visa. Now, unless we get that right, everything that you as Tourism Board are trying to achieve is going to be very difficult and challenging. So I think I'm going to try and see certainly some of the methods that can be used to do that. I did put a motion in the House last week about that there should be some sort of a forum set up at a technical level where the interchange can take place to ensure that in budgets for those departments they meet what you are trying to do in the job creation. And the thing should all be linked to, you know, the State of the Nation address, which clearly is looking at job creation as one of the key movers within tourism. You know, 16 tourists, one job, you know, and if we can get more in, more the better. So we need to look at that. But some of the disturbing things that I think I've noticed, which clearly don't, you know, my colleague there mentioned it, but, you know, we've had some briefings and people in the industry also are looking for a catchphrase which connects us to people wanting to visit here. And I'm just not inspired by inspiring new ways, I must say. I don't know whether that resonates with people out there as to what that, where it goes to. This committee, before my time, went to Mexico, and they came back with some tremendous ideas about those type of catchphrases which attract people to come here. So I just think we need to think about that a bit further if we're going to use a word or a phrase like that and how it was derived. Maybe we can have some explanation. The other thing that is of concern to me, and you mentioned, CEO, some of the issues relating to the grading. Now, grading is all fine, and presumably they conform to every standard applicable in terms of what they have to achieve there. But you know what I'm finding more and more as a person that travels a lot is the actual quality of some of the five-star hotels don't even reach, I think, the standard of the three-star in many sense, right here in Cape Town. I've experienced it. I raised it at one of the committee meetings the other day. And the fact is that I don't know whether there's a regulatory board that then comes in and ensures that after grading that they actually meet those criteria, because you walk in one day and you say you're a five-star, and the next day it goes down to a three-star. So the checks and balances relating to that and the regulation of that industry must be checked out, because immediately you get a five-star, you start outpricing yourself. And, you know, the destination becomes less attractive when people are having to pay to sleep in a hotel, you know, 2,000 plus a night. I mean, then you're not going to get what you achieve. So I think there's got to be some regulatory body in there to determine whether we are not outpricing ourselves in light of what grading has been given to that particular institution. The last thing, Chair, before I go or finish, is the whole aspect of trying to link our destination to the packages. When, you know, a family of mine traveled out here, especially from overseas, the biggest cost that they incur is the actual airfare in many instances. I'm not talking about some of the cheap charter flights, but if that is the main component and they come in all the way to Africa, not only Southern Africa, then we've got to try and package the deal in such a way that they will also see Serengeti, they'll also see Victoria Falls maybe in Zimbabwe and things like that. Now, I know a lot of these component attractions are linked to stability and things of that nature, and political stability in particular, which deters whether the tourist is going to take that opportunity or not. But I'd like you to maybe just give me some idea as to whether that linkage from our overseas tourist agencies are being trying to link that so that we do get a package, so people don't have to go to three places and pick three first. The Robben Island and the Sand Park story, I think, has been expressed here a couple of times, and it's something that we need to look at, because people also come out for that particular purpose and find that when they get there, the service is not being provided. We need to find out, you know, what can be done to slick that up, because otherwise it's going to create a deterrent. Thanks very much, Chair.
Once again,
Chairperson, it's all about domestic tourism. Travel like a tourist in your own country. I was very impressed to hear that the continent is supporting South Africa when it comes to tourism. So much has been said about the Nigerians and others, DFC, you name them. That is a really encouragement. We need not to wait for them to cross the seas in order to promote domestic, I mean, tourism in South Africa. Chairperson, I'm happy that the issue of safety and security has been mentioned, because it is very important to both tourists from abroad and us around South Africa. Well, we have had quite a number of incidents whereby tourists have been attacked, they have been, grabbed their bags, whatever you name it. But now, at this point in time, it seems as if it is under control in a way. I haven't heard so much of it happening, of which I hope and wish that is really under control. Coming to job creation as an industry, it is really good, because we know that it does help to eradicate poverty to our South Africans, because now we are having this problem of unemployment. But it seems that tourism is coming up very well and very powerful, even to introduce, to give us employment, because it does create jobs. And we're very proud of this wonderful department of ours. And one other thing. Short Left, there was a time when Short Left was launched, it was Short Left. You look at the screen, you look wherever, it was just Desmond Dudu, Dube, whoever. Now, nothing happening. People have forgotten. You can't tell them about Short Left, the South Africans. They'll ask you 10 times, what is there? What do you mean by Short Left? Even members, as we're sitting here, we seem not to understand it very well. Maybe today's today, that the department can just elaborate a little bit about Short Left. And I would recommend that let's just do it one more time. Let's advertise it. Why not? Good for South Africans. Senya, good. thank you very much that the disabled are cared for. You get to some of these places, you find that it's all steps. Nothing for them. I don't know how they call that nice one. Ramp. Because you know what? I want to tell the department, this is my last point. I'm also now falling under the disabled. You see, I can see around here, there are bathrooms which are strictly for the disabled. Then I just say to myself, hey, they don't know that Parliament is having so many of them. The senior citizens. So, when you go there, you just go there with pride, because whoever finds you there, you have an answer to say that, hey, you see now. So, keep it up. They must be catered for. The disabled. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Manjove.
Yeah, sorry, Chapter. Sorry, Chapter. Actually, I feel, you know, it would have been wonderful if we could have had more time, maybe a whole day for this presentation and discussion. I think 2.5 hours is really nothing. I don't know what we can do in future to ensure that there is some continuity. We look at it again. You see, the reason is because I'm looking at an update on the strategy, but I'm looking at what I would say myself. We have come a long way, and we are here now. And for me, there's a lot of positiveness. Some of the issues that we have raised in the committee with concern, I see there is a lot of emphasis on such issues. So for me, it would have been good if we had had more time, but now we don't. And one of the areas I'm particularly happy about, I must say that, is the emphasis on domestic tourism and the emphasis on Africa as a market. So we will come a long way. we need to look into to admit that. So the emphasis on Africa Chairperson we appreciate, and I'm just wondering why the office in Nigeria has still not been opened, and the office in Brazil. And here it says they will be opened not later than the 31st of March. But we've been hearing about this for quite a long time now. We are a bit concerned as to why, particularly Brazil. I'm not sure about Nigeria. But I think the events of the last few days about the visas for Nigerians, something that has been mentioned here, and the emphasis that we are saying Nigeria is going to be one of our very important markets in Africa, to me it shows the urgency for the opening of this office. So the sooner we do it, the better. I don't know what the constraint is. Maybe you know if there are any constraints. Chairperson, we had one of the entities addressing us, and one of the points that was raised was maybe SAT should not be the entity that promotes domestic tourism. We should have a separate entity for domestic tourism. But I think having looked at what I say is now, for me, an improvement in terms of the emphasis on domestic tourism, I won't raise that. I will give SAT an opportunity to implement this strategy, which I see in front of me here. Then we can see whether really we do need a separate entity to look at a domestic tourism in future. But for the time being, I think I wouldn't mind if we say, let's give them the opportunity to implement the strategy as we see it here. Now, fourthly, Chairperson, where's my number for now? Oh, yes, the alignment between the now. Okay, we've spoken about the need for alignment in terms of marketing. But I'm thinking of the alignment between provinces, municipalities, and the national department, national provinces and municipalities. I think that also needs to be looked into. But somewhere you say you're going to fund the communication with provinces and municipalities. I think we'll watch that, because it's also been another worry that we have, you see, the question of the provinces and their seriousness about tourism, the municipalities themselves, because that's where the tourist attractions are actually located. They are in the provinces, they are in the municipalities. So we are interested in this alignment. Chairperson, quickly, there has been a roadshow on the grading of the accommodations. I would like to find out how successful the roadshow has been or is. Another question I would like to ask you, Sam, in terms of competitors worldwide, who are our competitors? Let me give an example. You see, it has been mentioned that the committee went to Mexico, and we found that Mexico, of course, the tourist industry there is very well developed, very well organized. The alignment between the states and municipalities and the national and the federal government and so on, well, for them it seems as if these problems have been solved, or at least largely solved. Now, we say USA is one of our markets, core markets, and yet the Mexicans are claiming that they are the ones who have the Americans in their country. How are we competing with other countries in terms of the travelers, particularly from Europe? Now, on the safety and security, I think a lot has been said on that. But I just want to say, for me, it would seem as if, again, alignment between national, provincial, and municipalities is very necessary here. There was a very bad case very recently in East London where two Swedish women were actually raped. I mean, it's pathetic and it's very embarrassing. But I don't think I heard any comment from the National Department about an issue like that. These are international visitors coming to a municipality area, and this is what happened. What is the responsibility of nationals on cases like that? Do you, for instance, communicate with them? Because I know, and I accept that it is the responsibility of the municipality to ensure that the areas are safe, they are patrolled if need be. But what about the national department? Do you get concerned about such things? The document I read, which I had over the weekend, spoke of the department targeting 16 million domestic travelers or tourists, but I see here now you've got 18 million. Which one should I believe, 18 or 16 million? Another thing I think which one appreciates is the fact that you are saying now you are going to campaign more in terms of accommodation for the four-star and what you call upper three-star areas, which is the middle layer. You see, we appreciate that because really, most of the time, what was being promoted were the top, big, and expensive hotels. But if we are going to campaign and also promote, you know, the occupation of this level of accommodation, I think that would help in terms of also job creation. Chairperson, let me stop there for the time. Please. Oh, yes. Oh, no. I think I'm all right.
No. Let us then, is there another hand now? Oh, Mr. Bingo.
Chairperson, because of the want of time, we have to thank the South African Tourism for having come to present before us. Of all the issues that we have raised as members, some of them have to be directed to the department. And so when we engage with the department, it's only then, because some of the things that we are articulating must be informed also by our recommendations, because we have to still to meet as a committee to discuss the presentation that has been put here, so that we can come up with our recommendation to then say, this must then happen. Because time and again, when we communicate now, it's as if we're telling them to go and do this. And we always want to source information from them to then say, how do you intend to address this? But at the end of the day, we have to engage the department, because I can see on this plan, they do indicate that they've developed this together with the department. If I read here, it goes to then say, was developed by the management of the South African Tourism under guidance of the Department of Tourism, and take into account of everyone, which is highly appreciated, because it clearly indicates that they're working together. The other thing that I want to also to come into, Chairperson, is that the passion that drives us as South Africans is our history. So when we talk tourism, we must not find ourselves being emptied and not knowing where we come from. Listening to the presenters and everybody else, it looks as if sometime we forget as to where we come from, what informed us, why we are here. Now, if then we have to begin to talk about tourism, do we attach, does it have that heartbeat of our history and say, we are coming from this kind of history? That is why we are finding ourselves where we are, and that's exactly what makes us who we are as South Africans. Now, coming to the question of the logo, it must also have a life in it that talks to our history. Now, I'm saying this because I remember early in time, 94, 95, we used to make a call to all South Africans to make a contribution if we want to come up with some kind of a logo, which then engaged and caused all South Africans to participate. Then arising from that, the best logo then would come up and then say, this is the best. That is coming either from a school child or whoever else. That is what I'm relating now to the participation of all South Africans, rather than being accused to then say, we thought of this
in a given corner. That is why we keep on finding it that it's not palatable. It's not talking to our history. It's not talking to us. I would then say, let's involve South Africans also. I mean, this could be a nice thing to come up with, to then say on our radios, making a call to then say, let's think about this. It could be a drive. I'm not sure, but I'm thinking, Chairperson, that that could also work. But coming back to my point, we still have to sit as a committee. We have identified, we have listened. We have still to engage the department accordingly and then make recommendations. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. Okay, now over to you, Mr. Ndima and your team.
Chairperson, can I just take a minute to consult with the Deputy Chairperson just in terms of some of the questions here before I give you a response?
Okay, no problem.
Thank you, Chairperson. What we're going to do is, obviously in the time that's available to us, is to try and deal fairly generally with and try and identify the main trends that came out of the questions that were directed to us, and then and try and answer you broadly about that. I will just deal very quickly with the issue about brand alignment and the cooperation between the various departments. Given that our constitution allows for tourism to be devolved to the lowest level, it's the competency, as you know, of local government, provincial government, and the national government. And we've discovered that it is a competency that's guarded quite jealously by every level. So it has been a significant challenge in the past to make sure that we buy into the same messaging. I think, however, that we are making quite a lot of progress in that regard, and that we will continue to use the different fora like MINMEC and so to try and drive that messaging through. I think it's also something that we get continuously from the trade, that they believe really that there shouldn't be a multiplicity of efforts in that regard. And I think that there's general consensus that to the extent that we can use our influence, because we don't have the power to do so, that we have the influence, that we try and bind everyone within a collective message. So I think it's something that we understand, we continuously work at it, and we are very committed to try and get the maximum, given that it's, you can't take the consensus away, that we maximize what we can. I think the second issue that goes in line with it is relates really to how did we develop this pay line. Now, this was a collective governmental effort that was driven by Minister Shabane's office. And really what they tried to do was to find a pay line that both the Department of Trade and Industry, the International Marketing Council, South African Tourism, everybody else, yeah, could live with. So originally, and in that process, we were asked to give input. It was taken to Parliament. We weren't particularly, after Cabinet, we weren't particularly happy. It went back and we developed it. And I think in the end, it was a compromise that everybody there felt that they could commit to. If in developing that line, one has to remember that all the various countries in the world have pay lines. And I think, for example, India has got that wonderful pay line called Incredible India. And we've had a huge number of suggestions on the potential pay lines, but we at the same time committed research to determine what pay lines have actually been used by different countries, because you can't then use it again. So it actually then starts limiting the scope of what is available to you in terms of the pay lines. The second thing is you also need a pay line that that the various departments can all align themselves. It can't just be for tourism. So I think we feel quite comfortable that we can have continuity in terms of our brand messaging with this byline, and that we will develop the necessary collateral and material that we can actively sell this thing. In the last while, we've been very focused on trying to sell South Africa's as a place where you come and experience. You have a wide variety of experiences. Because our research has shown us that people are looking for experiences. They don't just want to visit the place, they want to live it. They want to really be part of it. So we believe that this is that we'll be able to develop this in line with that. Let's just leave it on that. I will ask Tulani to deal then specifically with how we plan on your questions here, on to deal with an increase in average spend, and then to deal with what we do about the perceptions about safety and security. On the issue of alignment of the various departments, we I think Tulani can deal with that and maybe refer it to some of the other members, including the issue about that was raised about education. I think lastly, we thank you for the comments about Africa and domestic market. You would notice that in terms of the additional budget that we received from Treasury, that has been very specifically allocated, and we requested it and was allocated very specifically for expansion into the new markets in Africa, and to reactivate and take to a different level our domestic marketing campaign. And I think you're right. To a certain extent, I think the short list was very successful, but all campaigns come to a national end. And I think we needed to go back, do research again, freshen that up, and then put new impetus behind it. And that is exactly what we are planning to do with that. And just then on Brazil, lastly, is that I know we've taken some time, you're correct, ma'am, to do that. We've unfortunately encountered a fair bit of legal difficulty in operating in Brazil, which I think we've resolved now. And also, as you know, that the budgets were cut back the last 2 years. And as a result of that, we really, it was unfortunate after the World Cup that we had less budget to work with than before the World Cup, but that is how life works. But in the light of that, we had to prioritize. Now with additional funds that's available to us, we can actually properly staff those offices and do a proper job of it. So we will make haste of that. If I can then ask our CEO to deal with the rest of the questions, Chair, please.
Thank you very much, Deputy Chairperson. I'm going to try and be short, and where you feel I haven't given sufficient detail, Chairperson, and the members who have raised the question, maybe you should indicate as such. But give me an opportunity to please go through as many questions as possible, and then I'll revert back to you. The first question, Chairperson, came from your side in terms of what are we doing to increase the average spend. The approach that we've taken is to make sure that, firstly, within South African tourism, we have a dedicated desk that focuses on the product development. We do not want to leave this entirely to the industry to identify these opportunities. It is our task to make sure that we go out there and find those tourist experiences that will help us to broaden the product range. The second thing is that we are focusing on packaging rather than dry selling. When we talk of dry selling, we're talking about selling the airfare alone or selling the hotel content alone. But when you combine this in a package format, it does make it affordable. It does increase the spend. But when you look at how we deal with the value chain and how spend will actually increase in general, whether you're talking domestic or international, it is about making sure that everybody in the process, with the airlines having airlift and affordable airfare, making sure that when people have arrived in the country, the visa cost itself was reasonable, the transfer from the airport to the hotel is at a reasonable cost, the hotel where they are going to be staying is also affordable, where they go out to dine is also a reasonable cost. That's how you can actually increase the average spend, because the longer they stay in the country, the more affordable it is, the longer they will stay in the country. It also feeds into the next component, making sure that once they have increased their disposable income, they can travel and experience various components of our tourist attractions, including visiting other provinces. So it's important that we approach it in a very constructive and holistic approach in that fashion. But we are not taking chances. We do it within ourselves. We have this product development team that already exists. Its task is mainly focused on developing products. The biggest challenge really is one of alignment, which you have alluded to. But what are we doing about it? The alignment from brand to provinces to cities. I can just touch on the things that we are already doing. There is a lot more work that we still have to do. A committee has been set up, which is, we were set up by the National Department of Tourism, but they have asked SA Tourism to take the lead in this process. This is a committee represented by the CEOs of the various provincial tourism organizations, KwaZulu-Natal, the Cape Town Roots Unlimited, Mpumalanga, and so on and so on. This committee meets on a regular basis. Its task is mainly really to look at alignment. First thing is we all depart from the same common point of view, that is to achieve the national tourism sector strategies. The second thing is to focus on making sure that we identify barriers for us to achieve those goals and make recommendations to various other stakeholders. We would also consolidate our efforts there in terms of once we have identified these opportunities or these barriers, we then lobby. But we are also tasked with making sure that we share marketing initiatives. Part of the things that we are trying to avoid is the duplication of activities, be it on a specific event basis where, for instance, we have the Cape Town Jazz Festival coming here. How many people will be trying to market the same thing, maybe coming from the same area? So we try and make sure we align this. We share the national calendar of events to make sure that we align resources, take advantage of what is happening there. We also want to understand roles and responsibilities. What is the role of the national organization like South African Tourism? What is the role of the provinces? Is it possible that we can focus in terms of us as national as South African Tourism, focusing largely on the global space, but without abdicating our responsibility on the domestic side? The question was asked also about that realignment. It is important that this alignment has synergy. There is synergy between the things we do globally and flowing through to the regional African structure to the domestic environment so that we have a seamless product offering, that the messaging that we are communicating out there flows through. The brand alignment has already been done in terms of what we are talking about now. We all have the same logo, save for a designator that indicates that you represent KwaZulu-Natal, you represent Mpumalanga. But that work has been done. This committee then reports to the next level, which is chaired by the DG for the Department of Tourism. It is at this level that we find even more synergies, making sure we have alignment there. There is a lot of work that we are doing, but there are efforts already underway. We also talk about how do we align resources when we go out to the international trade fairs. Who does what when we are out there at the international trade fairs? We talk about marketing platforms. We have global media coverages. If you're talking about CNN, BBC World, we do not want to see a duplication of the same activity, South African tourism advertising South Africa, and there's another tourism organization from South Africa communicating a message, maybe with a bit of contradiction. So I think in a nutshell, those are some of the things that we're doing. We're also managing some of the unintended damage messages that you can have out there from a marketing point of view. Just to give you an example, we are sensitive about provinces marketing in a sense that tends to create the impression that other provinces have weaknesses. I won't elaborate too much on that, but it is one of those kind of things that we try and avoid, Chairperson. The perception of safety and security, we are doing a lot. Our focus when it comes to marketing brand South Africa starts from the point of view that we need positivity, we need positive view of South Africa. That is the only way we can sell this brand. We have identified this as a serious challenge. Perception can become a reality in the mind of many people. But what we will try and not do, Chairperson, is to go on a full-swing campaign and say South Africa is a safe destination. I think the Soccer World Cup gave us an opportunity to reinforce the fact that it is actually perception. People have voted with their feet. The Soccer World Cup event itself was completed incident-free, at least not a reported incident. I think we did very well. Are we capitalizing enough on that? Maybe that's something that we still have to do a little bit better, just riding on the back of that success. But in general terms, when we identify this as an issue from an ecotourism point of view, our task is to continually have messages that reinforce that South Africa is a good destination. We're not saying it's a safe destination. That is the message I'm saying we must all avoid doing, because it's not the right thing to do. What have we done? We have just, an example, it takes a lot of other players to focus on this. Safety and security is outside of our domain, but we realize it has impact on our ability to achieve goals. We had a meeting in Australia where the Department of International Relations was meeting with us. We identified some of the things that are impacting on the perceptions of crime and security. In Australia, we wanted to do a pilot project there where the cooperation between the DERCO and the SAA and the SA Tourism can work together to try and address specifically the Australian community. We found that the majority of the negative comments were actually coming from ex-South Africans who have migrated to Australia and New Zealand. So we are doing something about that and making sure that we identify what are the quick interventions that we can put in place to try and address it. But our message, Chairperson, is that of communicating South Africa as a value for money destination, as a destination that offers a variety of experiences reaching every budget that you can think of. The second set of questions says it touched on education. And what are we doing about that? Tim, I would want you to just touch on this, because apparently there's been some previous interaction which involved the minister as well. But I just want to indicate that we take the bridging gap very seriously in terms of what is taught at universities or technicons and translating eventually to the workplace. We have a program of our own, which is an internship program. We have students at any given point in time that are tourism students who have graduated, or some of them are in the process of completing their studies. We give them the opportunity, and out of that comes also a second opportunity. Those who do well and we have employment opportunities in the organization, we always consider them for employment. So that is an ongoing process. Do we have enough of that? Maybe not. Do we create sufficient jobs? As long as we achieve all the goals as set out in the National Tourism Sector Strategy, we believe that we should be able to absorb that. But the program that we have in place is an internship program. It spreads around all the departments in the business. Tim, you will talk a little bit later, but let me just flow with the rest of the things. We acknowledge the need to start teaching these kids very early on in life. That is part of the reason why in outlining the domestic strategy, we try and identify roles and responsibilities for different departments. There are certain things that we cannot, as a tourism, do just by the virtue of our mandate. And the other one may well be the fact that there are other departments we might overstep our mandate and then maybe tremble on the toes of other people. But we do acknowledge the fact that it's better to start very early on in life and teach these kids. And then there's also a question of that SMMEs and creating a regulatory framework for them to be able to thrive. I think this question is also closely aligned to another one. I was trying to put these questions together, but this question, the approach on SMMEs, is also fundamental. I think it talks to the distribution channel. I may just come to it now. This question is very fundamental because we have very low barrier for entry in the tourism environment. This is the reason why tourism has the ability to create jobs much better than any other sector. You don't need brick and mortar to be a player in the tourism sector. You don't have to invest in buildings and all sorts of huge infrastructural items. You can, by sheer creativity of your mind, be a player in this industry by using other people's resources and packaging things that do not necessarily belong to you. So our approach here is to first encourage some entrepreneurial skills. The second thing is to encourage the private sector industry to embrace SMMEs. We can only do so much, but we hope that there is a lot of goodwill out there from other players in the industry to embrace this. We also use our own procurement system to encourage support of these SMMEs. If you look at our database, we have a huge database of SMMEs, and Johan stresses when it comes to the annual review of the VET certificate, tech clearance certificate. So it is actually a massive task to manage this environment. But consciously, we have taken the decision. We are embracing the SMMEs, both from a supplier point of view, as well as making sure from a procurement point of view we do that, and as well as encouraging other players in the industry. So there is also an issue which has been touched on. How do we relate to other key stakeholders in the field of tourism? You can talk of how we relate to DERCO, how we relate to Foreign Affairs, Home Affairs, and safety and security. Like I indicated, we are fully aware of the fact that for us to achieve these goals, it really takes a process of engaging everybody in the value chain. And we are not just talking. There are various sectors in the business environment. If you talk people who own products and services in the travel-related space, the Tourism Business Council of South Africa is a key stakeholder because they have managed to collate various key stakeholders to be able to talk with one voice. We engage them. We have regular set meetings at which we actually go and stake our case. They also give us feedback. It's a love-hate relationship at some stage, but we are now at a point where we believe that those barriers for success in achieving the goals of the national tourism sector cannot be achieved by us alone. Like I indicated to you, when we meet with the CEOs of the provinces, we also meet with the National Department of Tourism on a regular basis, and we identify what are the impediments to achieving our goals, and then what steps are we going to take to achieve this. And I'm glad to say there's significant progress made, and when it comes to DERCO, for instance, a week ago when we were in Germany, we engaged in some kind of a training program, and we are busy developing a very short manual, which will help them in terms of understanding tourism, what do we call it, diplomatic economy? Economic diplomacy. Thank you, DG. We are doing that. We're taking it very seriously because we believe that they have a better reach to the global space than we do. They have more offices in the world than we do. They have a better influence in the world than we do. They can open doors out there that we cannot open. But it doesn't end there. They themselves have actually said, we want to contribute to this. And so it's a very, very laudable development, and we're quite pleased about that. I don't know if that's an interjection.
Unfortunately, let us not allow interjection. We just don't have time. What will happen is just after. In fact, let us have about half a minute now and try and close.
Okay, and then the Deputy Chairperson has already covered the issue of the brand alignment, brand South Africa, and what we're talking about now. There was also a question on grading council, the quality controls that we have in place. We have an independent body that helps us in terms of the grading council, but we have also taken this very seriously. We realize that there are certain establishments that have been graded and been sitting there without a review. We have employed an auditor specifically tasked with making sure that there is audit of the establishments that have been graded, from a black to making sure that, as well as the standards that we use at hand, it's all in place. So we have taken steps already, Chairperson, in that regard, and we're doing very well. Value for money for South Africa, it takes everybody in the value chain, and we're doing that. Alignment, Robben Island and the Sandparks. Look, when we engage everybody, Sandparks is one of the participants in some of our meetings. So there is engagement already happening in so far as that is concerned. We also, again, I want to echo the words of the deputy chairperson here, that we appreciate your support on our initiative on the domestic and the regional African strategy, and we hope that with your support we can succeed. And the last point, Chairperson, is just on the question of the recognition of our historical importance. When we do consumer insights, Chairperson, we start off from understanding what various countries come here for, and it's important, in fact, that some of them will start off with the Rainbow Nation, the historical areas that are there. We sell those things very, very aggressively. We believe, and the community, the global community also believes, that South Africa's uniqueness is the fact that we offer that variety. If you're looking for historical interest, the scenic view, the safaris, nightlife, and everything else. But our historical importance is important. We embrace it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Very quickly, it deals with diplomacy, the issue of diplomacy. You see, when I wanted to go to, when I was going to London, and then I thought, well, just across the channel you got France, and if you go to France then, it's just a train hop and then you can be in Brussels. Now, I didn't have to apply for three visas. Schengen visa, warm visa, visit all these places. Now, have we ever considered, we are SADC, Southern African region, why can't we develop a similar facility where if a person comes to Botswana, he doesn't have to apply for 3-4 visas. He just gets, if he's got a Botswana visa, he can easily say, well, I've got a South African visa, I'll just go hop across from Swaziland or Lesotho, whatever. Or if you took a South African visa, you can come here and then go and see the go to Zimbabwe, go to Swaziland, you got that one visa. So maybe we should think about that.
Yeah, we can think about that, but let us stick to our mandate as well. You see, the mandate of Cape tourism, not South African tourism, is not around visas. We have to start with politics, then economics. Then you can come to the issue of visas. And I think we all agree that we've got to have no passports. But at the same time, this thing goes in stages. You can't have it in one stage. But where the point is taken, I think we all agree with you. But in conclusion, let me say thank you very much. It's a pity we could not have more time, but with the little time, I think your input has been valuable, and we shall then look at the input and then say our say and respond. So. But thank you very much for the hard work. We may not always agree with you, but you are working hard. On the issue of grading, I think we've got to be careful. SA Tourism has to make it a point that we can make a difference between actual flakes of SA Tourism Grading Council and fake flakes. Because quite often I've discovered after I was shown the difference between a fake and a non-fake, how to make a difference. But also that depends on the law that is supposed, the bill, we are supposed to have a bill from tourism. I do not know, DG, when we should expect it, because that one will be the one that will prohibit people from having fake plates. Right now, they are very, very similar. But if perhaps they can assist us by communicating more frequently, saying this is the genuine one and how, this is how you can see the fake one. So, in conclusion, continue to build our destination. We want it to be known to be the best destination in the world, and for people out there to have best memories of South Africa. On the issue of crime, I think it's for all of us to create the correct perceptions. I think out of the about 8 million or so tourists that come to South Africa, it's not more than 100 tourists that I've heard of that get injured, maimed, or robbed. But the perception is otherwise. But if we make it a percentage, it may show out to be very, very small. Yes, we are having crimes in South Africa, but in tourist areas, we are not. And like other countries, people are told, you are not allowed to go here if you are a tourist. Don't go alone here. And even in Europe, even in the States, if now you drink, then you go to Soweto, where people do not go, because even in Soweto there are areas where you can go and where you cannot go. In central Johannesburg, there are areas you can go, there are areas you cannot go. Even in central Pretoria, there are areas you know you can go and you cannot go. So it's a question of contextualizing those things and then projecting them properly, the question of context. But South Africa is one of the best countries in the world. The more I travel the world, the more I see the beauty of South Africa. And really, really, we've got to say that story and produce more good news ourselves. When necessary, if specific, there is a problem here, let us attend to that problem. Thank you very much, DG, and your team, for taking an interest in tourism and demonstrating that tourism is about partnerships, it's about relationships, it's about everybody in South Africa trying to make South Africa a country of memories, dreams, and good dreams. Thank you. Then the next item on committee work was the minutes. And I do not want us to get into the minutes with such an amount of time. And looking at the quorum as well, we are not having a quorum. So we shall adjourn and postpone the issue of minutes for the next meeting. Thank you very much. How can you say what you did in it? I'm going to go to the hospital.
Thank you.